Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, one to the other, so that ye cannot do that ye would. Let's read that again. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We take a look at this passage as the Apostle Paul, the Lord uses the Apostle Paul to write to these churches in Galatia. Several churches are written to in this epistle, and he is talking to them about things and dealing with them about things that he knows that they need. And he embarks upon this passage, and he says, we've been called to liberty, and there's a freedom, there's a liberty in Christ that we are not to use for ourselves, but we're to use that liberty in pursuit of the things of the Lord. The way that we can understand what it is that the Lord wants us to do and what he wants us to do is only through his word, through his Bible, through the scripture. And he gives here, and he goes on, he says, now this is what you're used to doing, the works of the flesh. That's what came natural. And those are reviewed, and we've read those, and they've been read and preached about and taught about in this church for years, for decades. Verses 19 through verse number 21. We know about those. Those come natural to us. But there is that which is supernatural. That which comes to the child of God, those are mentioned in verse number 22. And you and I, as members of Olmsted Baptist Church, these are that which we are to be pursuing. We've been saved by the Lord God Almighty. We've been saved through Jesus Christ, his Son. We've been added to this church, and we have the Spirit of God living and dwelling within. And that Spirit, what's it say? But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, one of the Trinity, God Almighty, Jesus said, if I'm going to live within you, Christ in me, our hope of glory. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These fruit of the Spirit, as Brother Orville Lawson says, the fruit salad of the Spirit, if you will, these are manifested and are going to be manifested. They can't help but be manifested in the child of God. If the Lord is living within us, the Spirit of God is living within us, these will be manifested. Otherwise, listen, if you have no fruit, you need to find and figure out and see if you have life. It's just the way that it is. And we don't say that to be mean. We don't say that to be proud or haughty. But it's a warning, because life is about this short. And then when your life comes to an end, what about then? After death, what then? And so we don't want to cause anyone to doubt their salvation or to doubt their standing before God. But we do need to get honest. We do need to be honest before the Lord. And that's the question of this series of messages that the Lord leads about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, we're going to take a look at love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. love. And then let us note and remember as we consider these fruits and this fruit salad of the Spirit, but we're going to break it down. We're going to take a look at love this morning, Lord being our helper. There's no law. There's against these, there's no law. You know, in regards to tithes and offerings, we just took up the tithes and offerings of the church, and the Lord knows what you give, and I don't want to know what you give. But in regards to the teaching of the Word of God, we have committed and we're constrained by the Lord, His love for us and Him having added us to this church to support the ministry of this church. And you know what? When you give your tithe, if that's how you're persuaded and you see that in the Word of God, and I believe that the tithe is real and that it's there, once you pay your tithe on what the Lord has increased you, it's done. You can't pay that tithe again. You can give more, and we'll sure take it and use it, okay? And that's not a plug for offerings. But once you give the tithe, you've done give it. And if you give anything on top of that, then it would be considered an offering, a free will offering, if you will. And the thing that we remember, and just using that example, we can't outgive God, can we? Can't give, outgive it at all. When the Passover was going to be sacrificed, and it had been ordered by the Lord to offer the Passover and to give that sacrifice in those households, once that Passover was done, it had been completed, hadn't it? You couldn't do it again till it was time to do it again next year. If you brought a sin offering, if you brought a peace offering, if you brought those things ordered by the Lord, the priest going in, the high priest going in for the people yearly, annually, in that seventh month to offer the annual atonement. Once he did it, it was done till next year. He couldn't offer an annual atonement in the eighth month, in the 12th month, in the first month. It was not time. The law did not order it to be. But you know what? With love, you can't ever get it completed. With the fruit salad of the Spirit, if you will, you and I can never get it done. Right. We'll never get it accomplished. We're to be working at it continually. So we want to interject that point. Matthew chapter 7. As we take a look at this thing about love and the fruit of the Spirit, in Matthew chapter 7, the Scripture speaks to us here, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just want to mention these things. Listen to what the Lord says, and that's the trust will be the emphasis of these messages. But take a look at what Jesus Christ says and weigh it in your heart and weigh it in your soul. And may the Lord help us that we introspect, that we have a time of introspection and evaluate to make our calling and election sure. Here in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, listen to what Jesus says. If you don't believe me, listen to what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets, Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That's how you're going to know them. You're going to know them by what they do. You're going to know them by the fruit that they purport, that which represents them, those things that they do. You're going to know them by their fruit. Do they have righteous fruit, or do they have the fruit or the desire of the flesh? That's how you'll know when a wolf comes in. Ye know, verse number 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Sister Duke Jr. has planted for us a garden out there, and we do not expect to get tomatoes off of cucumber vines. We don't expect it. We don't expect, Lord willing, we get those berries planted. We don't expect to get strawberries off the blueberry bush. Right. It just doesn't work that way. Amen. It just does not work that way. Said you don't get grapes out of thorns, and you don't get figs out of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree, listen, it cannot bring forth evil fruit. It won't do it. It's impossible. It can't happen. It cannot happen. It cannot bring a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. That's Jesus Christ speaking. Fruit inspectors. It is given to us to be fruit inspectors. Now, our area of responsibility and such, when, like in regards to someone coming and joining the church, saying that Jesus Christ has been their Savior, we're to believe them. They give a testimony of salvation that's according to the word of the Lord. We're to believe them. But in time, if the fruit doesn't manifest, but these things of the flesh are manifested, then it's such that the church has to deal and take a stand for righteousness and those things that are right. But that one that has been saved, and in our case, in our time, the Lord does add in the church, they're going to manifest fruit, aren't they? Amen. They're going to manifest fruit. And the Lord gives a challenge in those parables when he talks about the soil and when he talks about different manifestations in the service of God and those things that he blesses with. Some might produce 30, some might produce 60, and some might produce 100-fold. But you know what they're all doing? They're all producing. Amen. They're all producing fruit. They're all producing fruit. So listen to the Lord and what he has to say here. By their fruits you shall know them. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Here in the, and we've challenged you between the hymn and the and Gethsemane, here in John chapter 15, verse number 5, the Lord says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. We never need forget that order. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Why? Because he is grafted into Jesus Christ. He gets his nourishment from Jesus Christ. Been saved, been taken from that which is wild and put into that which is holy and righteous. That's where we're getting our nourishment. That's where we're getting our feed. That's where we're getting our blessing from the Lord. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Skip on down to verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The disciple of the Lord is evidenced by the fruit that they bear. Amen. I tell you what, it's not about making claims. It's not about making excuses. It's not about making reasons why this and reasons why that. Do we bear fruit or do we not? Amen. I tell you what, don't check out. Don't check out on the message because it's the Word of God that's speaking to you. As I tell them in the jail, don't listen to a word I've got to say, but listen to what the Lord says. And if the Lord speaks to your heart, hear him. Amen. Hear it and receive it. And believe it. The Lord says this. He says, much fruit will be born. In Romans chapter 8, take a look at what the apostle writes here. And the Lord's speaking through him to the church there in Rome. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh. I trust that's not the case. But in the Spirit. Not living, as we read over there in Galatians, we're not to live after the flesh, the desires of the flesh. We live after the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us, every bit of our conversation, our thinking, our speaking, our doing, let it be ordered of the Lord and after His way and His will and His word. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now that's not a question, it's a statement. But we can't ask that question. Is fruit being born? Is the Spirit of God there to produce fruit? What's it go on to say? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, I didn't say it. The Lord said it. You got the Spirit of God living within? You're his. You've been given the earnest of the Spirit, that earnest money of the Spirit, if you will. Till the Lord does the and completes all of salvation with giving us that new body and that new mind and all those benefits and blessings of him having saved our soul on this earth. But you don't have the Spirit of God because fruit is not being manifested. You're none of his. Brother Jim, that's kind of mean. That's kind of ugly. That's what God says. That's just getting down to the truth of the matter. That's just getting down there to where it's at. We need not, we will not appear before God in righteousness because of what we do, what we present, what we conjure up, but will be because of his touch upon us, because of him giving us life, because of the new birth, being born again, having received Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. What's he say? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know, we move on to take a look at this thing of love. I've heard it said by some that we just need to love each other. I wish we could just love each other and get along. You know, but as it turns out, those that generally say that kind of thing, they want everybody else to get their love straightened out before then they offer theirs. I don't think you got a scripture, one scripture in the Word of God to back that up. You hear what I'm saying? I just want us to love each other and get along. What they're saying is, I want you to give me a buy on my sin, so and I'll give you a buy on your sin. That's what's being said. That's what's being said. You let me pass on your mine, and I'll let you pass on yours. We just want to love each other and get along. Turns out they don't want to. They want everybody else to get their love straightened out before they offer their love. You know, when you take a look at the scripture, and I trust the Lord to show us this, why don't those that purport such an attitude and such a thing, why don't they just go ahead and work on overcoming everybody else with their own love, whether we have our love or not? Isn't that what the Lord did? Amen, he did. That's what he did. Why don't they that purport this just go ahead and work on overcoming everybody else with their own love, whether the love of others comes around or not? I believe that's what the Lord would like to see. I believe that that is what the Lord would like to see. Take a look over here in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I tell you what, turn in that Bible and take a look for yourself. Don't listen to a thing I've got to say. You listen to the Lord. Luke 11, 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. That kind of stuff that gets down there with where my eyesight is, that it's so small and so tiny I can't even reckon to count it. I got these bifocals. I went to the eye doctor the other day, and I told him, I said, next pair of glasses I get, I'm not getting bifocals. He laughed at me. He said, you got to get them. You can't see. I got some contacts and put those suckers in, and sure enough, I can't see anything to read any closer than that with just contacts, which is the way I'd be with glasses. I need the bifocals. These jokers, they would take in that mint and that rue and that little stuff, and if they had 106 of them, they'd parse that out and said, well, okay, I'll give 11 of them. I mean, they're struggling. They're struggling over it, but they go ahead and count it all out. They count it all out, and what's he say to them here? He says, you tithe mint, rue, and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. Pass over what God says about love, and all different kinds of respects. God's love for us, our love for Him, and the love of God in us that we're to exhibit to others. He said, you pass over it. He said, you'll tithe up that little stuff, that little tiny stuff. You got to get up there close and see, get the magnifying glass and parse it all out and everything. Herbs. My, you can grow a patch of oregano. Unless you're cooking for a business, you get a wad of oregano this big, it's going to last you forever. But then we bring in the corn and put it in the freezer and tomatoes and can it and all that kind of stuff. That we eat up. And he said, you guys are struggling over the little stuff, and you leave off what's at the heart of the Lord. You leave off of what it's important to God. You leave off love. And we don't have time to take a look at that judgment part, but it's there. And God has said it. He said, you pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done. You ought to be doing the tithing and not leave what's important. What's down there at the motivation? What's down there at a changed heart? That you shouldn't have left undone. Brother Jim, you don't appear to be too loving. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited. I'm not angry. I'm excited. Lord, help us, folks. We need to see this. If we've got a future at Olmsted Baptist Church, may the Lord help us. We have got to get a handle on these things. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Love. And taking this point that others want everybody to get all their love straightened out before they'll offer theirs. Well, when you all get right, then I'll line up with you. No, we just need to be about what our Lord says. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Isn't that interesting that that scripture is put together that way? Now, that word dissimulation, we don't use that word much, do we? You know what it means? Love can't be a fake or a put-on. Love can't be something feigned, as the scripture says. Love can't be something that we just conjure up, the love of the scripture and the love of the Lord. It's got to be coming from within.
Right.
That love that the Lord expects, he's not talking about faking. He's talking about it being real.
Right.
He's talking about it being from him. And Lord, help us in the message that we'll see. Let love be without being faked, feigned, put on, but let it be real. And you know what? Abhor that which is evil. It goes right there to say it, right up against it. Abhor that which is evil and hang on to that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. That word cleave is used in the relationship between a husband and a wife. A husband and his wife, two joined together in the bonds of matrimony that cleave together, should cleave together in spirit, in soul, and in body. Hang on to that which is good. In a way that a man and a woman cleave together in marriage. Hang on to that. See, the Lord doesn't say, let everybody else get straightened out, and then you go ahead. But the Lord says, the fruit of the Spirit is going to bear love. The Spirit within a soul is going to bear love. Let's take a look at how the Lord defines it. Love defined by the Lord in his life. John chapter 3. You all know this. You don't even have to turn to it. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God equals giving something precious. Hear it? He didn't give money. He didn't give gold. He didn't give silver. But God Almighty, love defined by God, he gave the most precious that he had. He gave his Son. And I tell you what, the bad news is, folks, it's the good news, but it's the honest news. He gave his Son for we who are worthless.
Right.
Our sin has made us despicable before God, but yet in his greatness and his mercy, grace and love, he gave his Son so that you, sinners like you and me, could be rescued from our sin. That's love. That is the love. That's the example of the love of God. John chapter 5, 42. John chapter 5, verse number 42. What is love defined by the Lord? What is love defined by the Lord? If we want to find out what the Lord expects in the fruit of the Spirit, love being that first mention of that fruit of the Spirit, we need to go to God and see what he says. Well, let's go to the Lord and see what he says about love. What the real definition is. The world is so messed it up in our day, and that's mankind does so. But look here. Look what else is love. The love of God equals giving of that which is most precious. We saw that in John chapter 3, verse 16. Now here in John chapter 5, verse number 42, the Word of God says, but I know you, that ye have not known, you have not the love of God in you, these that the Lord has been speaking to. What's he been speaking to them about? He's been speaking to them about the judgment. He's been speaking about that God the Father is not going to judge anyone, but because the Son has been obedient to the Father, having come as Savior, judgment's going to be given to him. The Savior, listen folks, the Savior is going to turn out to be the judge. You're going to answer if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you reject his forgiveness for sins, his atonement that he made, if you do not come to him in repentance and faith as he commands and you reject that, you will yet in the judgment stand before the one that offered himself as a sacrifice so sinners could be saved.
Amen.
It's going to be standing. The judge is going to be the Savior. And so he speaks to them. And here in Romans chapter 5, verse 42, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you, these that he speaks to. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. You don't have the love of God, and you reject me. You have not the love of God in you, and I'm coming in my Father's name, and you don't receive me. The love of God is receiving Jesus. Receiving Jesus the way he comes, not on terms that we make for him, but receiving Jesus in the way that he comes. That's the love of God. He says here, he says, I'm coming in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, every time Dick and Harry that comes around, you'll believe him. You'll receive him. You'll take him just at face value. But here I come working the works of God, the miracles that I work, the word of God. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? He said, you're willing to one man stroke another man, and make each other feel good and receive each other at face value, but you won't receive the Son that's been sent by the Father. Isn't that the way it works? Isn't that the way it is? He says, what did he tell him? You don't have the love of God in you. That's the reason you can't hear it. You can't believe it, and you won't receive me. Love defined by the Lord. The love of God equals receiving Jesus. In verse chapter number 8, it says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. If the love of God was in you, you'd say, yes, I love it. I receive it. I enjoy it. Next, thirdly, the love of God equals laying down your life. John chapter 10. What is this love defined by the Lord? Well, we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells us. The love of God, love defined by the Lord in his life. The love of God equals giving that of that which is most precious. The love of God equals receiving Jesus. The love of God equals laying down your life. John chapter 10, verse number 17. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Isn't that what it says? The Father loves the Son because he's obedient. The Father loves the Son because he laid down his life. He didn't have to lay down his life, but he laid down his life for sinners like you and me. He lay down his life so salvation could come to wicked sinners like us. 1 John chapter 3, take a look here. 1 John chapter 3, this is interesting that this scripture is this way. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. Look at this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoa. Are we willing to lay down our life one for another? Are you willing to lay down your life for me? Are you willing to lay down your life for your brother and your sister? Am I willing to lay down my life for you? The love of God says that's the way it'll be. The love of God says that that's the way. That's how we know the love of the Lord. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The love of God equals laying down your life. The love of God, fourthly, equals loving the Lord's people. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The love of God equals loving the Lord's people. John chapter 13, verse number 34. A new commandment give I unto you, Jesus says, he's speaking, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, he gives the example. He says, I've loved you. I want you to love each other the same way. He said, you're going to see more about how I love you. Love each other the same way. Love one another the same way that I have loved you. That's the example. That's the definition by the Lord. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love. If you have love one to another. Love defined by the Lord is loving the people of God, loving the Lord's people. Here, listen to this. In John chapter 17, the Lord says in verse 23, I in them and thou in me, he prays, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He's praying to the Father. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Hear that? That the love that we have, Father, would be in them and that I would be in them. Fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Love defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. Love defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God equals loving the Lord's people. Fifthly, the love of God equals what? Keeping his commandments. John chapter 14, we just preached on this last week. John chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord says, verse number 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Do you understand the connection of this next sentence? Arise, let us go hence. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, and he's teaching his church, he's teaching his disciples, he's teaching the apostles there, he's teaching them, being hours from his crucifixion, still tending and ministering to them in their need because of his great love for them, not doing like I would be doing and saying, they're going to come get me and put me on a cross in just like so many hours, 6 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours. He's not concerned. He does much teaching of his church right there at the 11th hour, if you will, before his crucifixion. He loves us. He loves us with the love that is hard for us to even comprehend. Amen. But we need to hear it. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. He said, fellas, get up. We're going because I'm going to go do it. You hear that? Arise, let us go hence. He says, we're going. I'm going. Whether you all come with me or not, I'm going. I'm going to go obey the Father. I'm going to go do it. He went to the Gethsemane. He went to Gethsemane knowing that Judas was going to take that crowd there, didn't he? He could have went to the other side of Jerusalem, but he went straight to the place where he knew Judas would take those that would be in that band and that troop, didn't he? He obeyed the Father, an example to us. The love of God, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what? And we're not let off the hook if we don't know them either. Isn't that what they say about the law? Ignorance is no excuse. Don't pretend and don't lie to yourself that because you don't know, you're not accountable. Because see, we've been given a book that tells us what the Lord expects. We've been given a book that tells us, and whether you can read or not, there's somebody around close to you that can, and there is a way that you can get it. The love of God equals his keeping his commandments. John chapter 15, as the Father hath loved me, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's simple, isn't it? It's simple, but we complicate it and confuse it so much. The fruit of the Spirit is love. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And the Lord says that by fruit, it'll be known whether folks are saved or not, whether or not they have the Spirit of God living within. The Lord's expectation of his children and his people is that we bear much fruit, that it be evident and showing forth in us. There have been those that have said, well, I want everybody else to get their love straightened out, and then I'll exhibit my love. But the thing is, we look from the Word of God. God says, be about it. I've been about it. I've been about it. I expect my children to be about manifesting that love from within them. We see that the love of God defined by the Lord in his life is giving of that which is most precious as the Father gave his Son. We see that the love of God equals receiving Jesus at what he says on his terms, on his way. We see that the love of God is the laying down of one's life as the Lord did in his example. We see that the love of God is loving the Lord's people as the Lord has told us and commanded us to do, as he has loved us. We see that the love of God is keeping his commandments, keeping his word to us. The Lord gives us a love challenge, if you will. The Lord's love challenge to us, and we don't have time. We're going to take a look at that next time. But I want to ask you, do you manifest the love of the love fruit of the Spirit? Do you? Not somebody else, but do you? Are you cold? Are you hard? Are you saved? It says in Matthew chapter 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It can happen to us. That's the reason the Lord tells us anything. Do you manifest the love fruit of the Spirit? Has your love fruit waxed cold and indifferent? Or do you have any love fruit at all? Because there's no Spirit there. In John chapter 4, the Lord says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said, what I'll give you, it'll spring up big. It'll spring up great. And love will come forth from it. Because you will have been touched and blessed by God, knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing that you've been saved by me, and you won't want to do nothing but follow me, serve me, and be a witness of me. He says, I'll give you life. Do you have any fruit at all? Romans 8 tells us, Romans chapter 8, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And that's what needs to be considered. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 22. If any man, woman, boy, or girl love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Do you know what that means? If the love of God does not abide in you, if the love of God does not abide in us because of salvation and the Lord Jesus, if the Spirit is not there to bear fruit in our lives, the apostle writes to this church at Corinth, this church in Greece, let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema means cursed, banned, and accursed. Maranatha means our Lord will come, or is coming. Maranatha is an exclamation of approaching divine judgment. If a man, woman, boy, or girl does not love the Lord Jesus Christ because of salvation and the Spirit of God living within, he's accursed. They are accursed when it comes judgment time. Do you have the love of the Lord in you? As it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I'm asking you,
Do you live in the Spirit? If you live in the Spirit, there needs to be love coming out. There needs to be that fruit manifested in you. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of empty, vain glory. That commendation of other men, women, and boys and girls. But let us be desirous of the commendation and honor of the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ said that we read over there in John? He says, you can't believe in me because you don't have the love of God in me, because all you're interested in is getting a slap on the back from one another. But we need to seek the approval of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. But let us get our hearts and our minds and our eyes right that we need to look to the Lord. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord says in that book, in the Scripture, He says you need to repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Salvation is not something you can buy. Salvation is not something you can trade for or barter with God for. Listen, you have nothing to offer. Nothing to offer but your sin. In and of ourselves, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We're guilty. And the Lord brings that word and brings that book to us. He sent His Son to show us that we are guilty. And He tells us the truth in that, that we might know that we're guilty. He tells us that for our good. Because when a sinner sees that they are guilty, now there's hope. Amen? When the sinner sees for real what the sin is before God, and that the standard of Jesus Christ, His Son, is that to which we need to compare ourselves to, and that we fall short, then there's hope for a sinner, because then the sinner will say, I need help. Amen. I need help. Amen. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And then the sinner can see Jesus Christ, the one to whom they compare themselves to, and see that they are guilty by what God says. That same one is the one that died so sinners like you and me can have salvation.
Amen.
Repent. Admit to God that you are guilty, that you are a sinner, that you're wicked and vile, lost and undone, deserving of a devil's hell. And trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Believe Him that when He, the Son of God, came down and became a man, became the Son of Man, God and man all rolled up into one. The God-man. That when He came and lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, He didn't do it for Himself, but that He did it for you.
Amen.
For you. So you could have forgiveness of your sins. So you could have a blessing and hope in this life. So that you could have the Spirit of God living within and be a good tree to bear forth good fruit. To bear forth and reciprocate the love that God has shed abroad in your heart. And not only in this life, but in the life to come, have eternal life. Knowing not a hope it might happen kind of hope, but a no-so hope, amen, you're going to live with the Lord forever.
Amen.